Welcome to Help and Hope, a podcast of CCEF.
Thanks for joining us again this week. My name is Andrew Ray, and I'm here with
Winston Smith
and Julie Lowe.
And it's fun to be with you guys.
It's great to be here.
Okay, now three fun questions for you guys. Here we go. If you had to be named after one of the 50 states, which would it be?
Wow. Well, I want to pick something that sounds like a person's name, so I might go with Washington.
Washington.
Yeah.
The historical significance?
Not like Rhode Island.
Right.
Something crazy. Yeah. But something that sounds like a real name.
I can't top that one. Miami.
Miami.
Which is in a state. It's close.
Gotcha.
Alaska.
Yeah. Alaska, that's nice. I was thinking Montana.
That's good. You're like a cowboy name.
Yeah,
that's great.
That's what I was going
Wyoming
for.
Wyoming would work, Wyoming. Too. I should have thought of that.
Have you seen their license plate? It's like a... Yeah. Okay. What did you have for lunch yesterday?
I always eat lunch knowing that someone might ask me on a podcast that question. No, I'm kidding. Oh, I ate a salad.
Mm-hmm.
And then to balance that with something a little less healthy, I ate a bag of potato chips.
Oh, nice. Where did you get the salad? Homemade?
No, Wawa.
Oh, okay. I had a salad. Salad works yesterday.
Oh. Uh-huh.
I had a salami sandwich with barbecue potato chips.
Oh, nice.
Ooh, you win. You did. You did it right.
And a Coke.
Diet or regular?
Oh, it might have been diet. Just to even everything out.
Right.
Yeah. You can't even drink regular Coke. Have you ever taken dance lessons?
Yes.
Should have.
Yes, you should have. I did. Swing dance. Swing.
Oh, nice.
It was a disaster, but it was fun.
Yeah.
I'm trying to convince my husband to do so as well.
I have no desire to dance whatsoever. If I were going to do it, it would have to be more like ballroom dancing. Something that doesn't make you feel silly or vulnerable. You know, I think like something that looks kind of like dignified.
Like swing dance.
Yeah.
Dignified. I love that. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, maybe this will transition into our topic today, which is loneliness.
If you don't dance, you are going to be lonely. Yeah. I just tell you that right now.
Dancing prevents loneliness.
You can't ask your date to stay home and read a book with you if they want to go dancing.
I received a question, and it was the shortest question we've received to date, which is, why am I so lonely? On Ask the Counselor. And it really broke my heart, because this person is asking this out of obviously real loneliness. And then we had a question, which is kind of close to it, which is, what can I do to get better conversations flowing between myself and my spouse? We are both very quiet people, and sometimes it is difficult for us to open up and share what is on our minds, which sounds like a loneliness question to me as well. How often do you hear the phrase, I'm lonely, in counseling?
A lot.
Yeah, I really do hear it a lot.
Whether you're married or single or in a family context, people are just very lonely. They're missing connection, deep connection with people.
Yeah, I think you're right, Andrew. I think those really are two sides of the same question. Like Julie's saying, you can be, you know, alone in a crowd, so to speak. You can be lonely in a marriage. So, I mean, I'll take kind of an initial swing at it. Let's take the marriage example. Well, how is it possible for two people to be lonely in a marriage? And I think what typically happens, it's not that they don't talk to each other. It's not that they don't spend time together. Is that they're not sharing at a real heart level. That they're doing what I say, living marriage at a logistical level. They're managing their household. They're paying the bills. They're raising their kids. But what's missing is this sense of, I really know you, and you really know me, and our words reinforce that and take us to those deeper levels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sense of being known and understood. When you have that, you don't really hear of people being lonely. It's when mm-hmm. you're missing that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be with a lot of people or live in the context of a family and not ever feel fully known and understood by somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there's this misconception that single people or people that live by themselves are the loneliest. rather than saying, I think that's becoming a chronic problem in our culture, where we don't communicate, we don't live on a deeper level with one another, which ultimately is lived out in our relationship with God as well.
Well, that was one of my questions. Is this a new phenomenon because of Facebook and a lack of personal interaction? Do you think this is a cultural thing?
No, I think it's a human thing. I think that we all are sort of born with this inclination and instinct as Adam's offspring to hide, conceal, and cover. And some of us can get comfortable there, and others of us really start experiencing and give voice to loneliness. But I think it's that. I think, you know, as Julie's suggesting, you know, our first and deepest need is to be reconciled to God, to appropriate the gospel and a relationship with Christ to our lives, so that we live lives of openness and intimacy with Him, and then we're able to kind of live that way with our neighbors as well in love. So I think, you know, Facebook and distractions, television, you know, all the diversions that crowd our lives, they're just devices that distract us from kind of the deeper underlying needs.
I would say, though, it also creates more of a chronic condition and environment of it, where you look back to the Walton days or Little House on the Prairie. They lived in community. They didn't have the distractions and the ability to live behind walls or computer screens. So I think it irritates the problem, if not exaggerating it.
I think it'd be a really interesting experiment if for some reason, you know, television and radio were just blacked out for 2 weeks, and just to see what would happen to relationships. I think that'd be an interesting premise to a book, like what happens to culture for 2 weeks without radio or television.
We know it only takes a couple of days with blackouts to have more children around 9 months later.
Right. So you have population increase. But I hear my dad talk about growing up in a rural area on a farm, and you know, the ability to tell stories was highly prized. The ability to tell jokes was prized. Like, you went through your day looking for things that you could share with somebody else, and those are fond memories for him. Sitting around at night, you know, no electricity, sitting around a fire or candles, and telling stories, and just laughing about what happened that day, and just the sense of community that created.
Yeah, and it's amazing how much we love stories, right? Every single day, my daughter, who's 3, comes up to me and says, "Daddy, can you tell me a story about when you were a little boy?"
And you say, "I'll Facebook you. Check your Facebook."
And I'm racking my brain for stories. I'm thinking I'm running out of them. But, you know, I know there's more somewhere back there in the gray matter. But it's like this. We love stories. That's why we love movies and books. But we don't know how to tell stories very well.
We're passive recipients of stories, and we're not developing the ability to share ourselves in telling stories.
So where do we move forward in helping someone who's lonely, or helping those in a marriage who are lonely? What are a couple ways we can encourage people? And I know you had mentioned, first and foremost, having a right relationship with the Lord.
I'll go for some of the lower hanging fruit and make Julie dig deeper for something else. But I mean, I a couple of things. Hopefully you're already doing this. But if you can start carving out time and making time to talk about your day. But here's the trick: don't just describe facts about your day. Talk about how you're connected to the facts. Make sure that you are in the story and being revealed in the way you tell the story of your day. And I think one of the most important ways that you do that is you start inserting emotional language. You know, one of the functions that emotions serve is that emotions communicate to other people how we are connected to the facts and the details of our world. So what did you do today at work? Well, I had a meeting with my boss. Okay, that's useful information in a sense, but it doesn't tell me anything about you as a person. So what was that meeting with your boss like? I really enjoyed it. Why? Well, because he said I was doing great work at my job. So clearly this is a fantasy for me. So I felt really good about that, you know. And, well, that's now you know something about me as a person, about my heart. So So tell the story of your day, but make sure you're in the story. And one of the ways you do that's by using emotional language.
I guess I'm thinking of people I've met with in the past and realizing that there is such a tremendous longing to do that, but there's no one on the receiving end of that. And so loneliness is felt because there's nobody really wanting to know them.
Who cares about them?
Yeah, who cares about them, who's looking into their lives or wanting to understand them on a deeper level. And how do you live like that in a broken world where some people might never truly have that apart from Christ? Which is why it's so necessary, I guess that's an understatement, that we're learning to find that in Christ, because this side of heaven there is no guarantee we'll find that kind of need to be met, though that's sad and hopefully not true, particularly in the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. But there are people that would come to counseling out of just a deep need to be known by somebody.
And that's one of the things you want to do as a counselor.
Right.
Be at least be that one person who listens carefully and cares about what they're saying.
And it is heartbreaking. You share their heartbreak to say there might not be somebody else. You want to guarantee it. You want to pray for it. You want to tell them that, yes, there will be people down the road, but there is no guarantee.
And maybe some of our listeners who aren't necessarily lonely can be good listeners to some around them who they may see as lonely, and an encouragement to be at least that one person who can know someone who obviously needs to be known better.
Yeah. The flip side of that is we're not good listeners anymore either. Mm-hmm. We are caught up in our own worlds, our own lives, our own schedules, and we don't listen well to people.
Mercy. That is so true. I've had to learn that lesson a long, long time. Yeah.
I feel like Andrew's loved us today. Listened well.
He's listened well to us.
They're paying me to listen well.
Oh, never mind.
I can't take the credit. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about CCEF and its resources, visit us on the web at ccef.org.